You have experienced today what we're going to be talking about. This is what Jacqueline was saying, you know. Eventually, somewhere in our lives with Christ, we got to decide, do we understand how He loves us? You know, and I think we do. This would be a fair statement. We partially understand the love of God. Wouldn't that be a truer statement? I can't really totally, absolutely imagine right now absolutely unconditional love. Can you? Because most of the love we experience, if we're quite honest about it, it has conditions to it. It has limits to it. But I want you to know that you and I are engaged to the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, which puts us in a relationship. Listen to this. A relationship in worship and through worship that allows us to understand God will live with us. I mean, God lives with us. And if God lives with us, guess what that breeds? That's real hope. The real hope is God can get us where we can't get ourselves. How many? That's why we need Jesus. You understand that? How many of y'all understand that? Now see, until you understand that, you'll never worship. You'll just go to church. That's what most people do. They just go to church. I mean, we're from South Central Kentucky. What do you do on Sunday? You go to church, you get an hour and a half in, hour and 15 minutes in. Hillview, 2.5 hours. You go to church, you kind of go, I'm going to go to church. Well, guess what? I'm going to tell you not to go to church anymore. I'm going to tell you to come to worship. Amen. There's a huge difference in going to church and coming to worship. And I want to tell you, we need worship. It's part of those five practices that we believe allow your faith to develop. Okay? Five things. And guess what? If you don't believe in them, I want you to go do them for 6 weeks and tell me if something doesn't happen in your life. Go practice them and then tell me if they work or not. In fact, guess what? A lot of problems that I used to have to work through with folks using, you know, therapy, we just said, here's my first question when you come see me. Are you practicing these five things? Because you're claiming to be a human being engaged with God. So if you're going to be engaged with God, then practice what God says. Once a week, you need to worship. Now here at Hillview, that may be a Wednesday night, maybe a Sunday night, maybe a Sunday morning. It may be at Lake Church during the summer. But somewhere you need to gather with other people to worship. Why do we need to be with other people? Well, we need to be with other people so that we understand we're not alone in this pilgrimage with God. God didn't come just for us. He came for everybody. Now, let me give you God's desire. God's desire. How many of y'all want to hear God's desire? God doesn't want anybody here to go to hell. How many of y'all are excited about that? God does not desire. He says He don't want anybody to perish. Now, obviously, the reality, are there people, or will there be people that go to hell? Yeah. Because here's what they do. They refuse to listen to God. They refuse to acknowledge that He's the truth. They refuse that He exists. And they say, I'm going to do it my way. Now, so really, when we come to worship, we got to realize this. Here's what goes on in worship. I'm actually confessing in worship that there's a better way to live than I have personally. God is a better way than what I can think of. How many of you have come to that point? What God has recommended is better than what I can think of. Yeah, whew. I don't know about y'all. I thought of some bad things. I can still think of some bad things. When I run things by God, He'll go, is that who I've made you to be? I go, no. He goes, that's thinking from what you used to be instead of who you are. Make sense? How many of y'all, some of you used to be thinking gets in the way of who you are type thinking? I want you to know if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you've done like Chris and Christopher, you've confessed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've asked Jesus to forgive you, how many of you are glad to know you are forgiven? Okay, now let's run this real quick. Why? Because He said so. See, that stumps some of you. Some of you think, well, I quit drinking beer. Well, guess what that means? You don't drink beer. So that means you'll go to heaven? No. Does that mean you'll go to hell? Yes. If you stop drinking beer without a relationship with Jesus Christ, what you will have is you will be able to have breath that does not smell like beer while you're in hell. I mean, I want y'all to get it straight. And the reason I bring up beer all the time, because most of y'all grew up in the South, and here's really what was preached. Don't drink and you'll go to heaven. That's a lie. If that's all you got, you're going to hell. Because guess what? There's more sins. Make sense? What about gluttony? Now we just chugged over 75% of the church out. And that's right there in the same restrictions. Have you noticed that? Have you all noticed how religious people like to pick and choose what rules they follow? That's why Jesus did not come bringing rules. Religious people have rules. God has a relationship. I want you to know the difference. Jesus, in fact, was accused. Was Jesus ever accused of being religious? Y'all been to Bible study enough to know what Jesus really liked? In fact, Jesus was accused of being not religious enough. Too relational. Loved too many different types of people. And so here's what I want you to know. God's desire is that you would be what? Saved! He wants you to know Him. He has died so that you and I can dwell in heaven. How many of y'all that? Wow. 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 There's a God that's created me that wants to recreate me and make me fit for heaven. I don't know about you, but that's some powerful good news. I don't have to stay where I am. Now, when you come to worship, how many of y'all are coming to worship expecting God to do something? I mean, when you come see God, something's going to happen. Look at your neighbor and say, something's going to happen. Go ahead and wake them up. Something's going to happen. How many of y'all go to church thinking, I'm just going, I hope everything will be all right. Hope I get an hour in. Hope I hear some good things. Hope I get a good moral lecture. I'm not here to preach you a moral lecture. I got something better than that. Here's what I know. If you will dwell in the heart of God, you will begin to realize, check this out, the possibilities of heaven here on earth. How many of y'all ready to live out the reality of heaven, really the reality of heaven, right in the midst of your earthly journey? How many of y'all know that'll happen in the here and now, not the here and later? However, I do want to give you some good news before I get to this 84th Psalm. You are going to heaven if you love Jesus. I think you need to know that because Jesus already loves you. Isn't that cool? Jesus thinks you good looking. He thinks you smooth. For all you guys that think you're not cool, Jesus said, you are cool enough for me to die for. How cool is that? You think, oh man, I'm poor. Jesus said, I'm not looking at your bank account. I'm looking at your heart account. Jesus doesn't look at the things we look at. Amen? He looks deep down in your soul and He wants to dwell with you. That's what I'm hitting today. Oh, how holy is your what? Dwelling place. Now here's what, you got this? God's got a dwelling place. What do we call it? Come on, y'all are almost awake today. God's got a place that He hangs out. What do we call it? To break it down, God's hangout is named. Three of you are participating today in worship. God's hangout is where? See, I want y'all to get that sounds so simple, but the church is scared to say two things today, heaven and hell. We really don't preach much about heaven, so I think you ought to know where you're going so you'll see if it's worth living it out. And then every preacher in America today, we are so scared to mention hell. I mean, I'm not, but my colleagues are, because they're scared y'all won't show up and give a dollar again. See, I know the reality. If you don't find Jesus Christ, you're going to get your dollar back and heaven's going to say, go to hell. Because God's not into tolerance. Just because you're into tolerance and you believe everybody's God's worthy and there's one big dreamy celestial ooh somewhere, God's word doesn't say that. God's word says there's a reality. You and I need Him. And when you need Him, you'll worship Him. Well, what do I need Him for? I need Him because I can't get to heaven without Him. How many of y'all realize you can't get to heaven without Him? You can't get to heaven without Him. So I want to give you three things I want you to get in worship. 84th Psalm. King David writes from his soul. Now be careful. This is a powerful text. Powerful psalm. And guess what he says? Oh, how lovely is your dwelling place. Oh, Lord Almighty. First of all, I want you to know when you worship God, you worship an Almighty God. How many of y'all got an Almighty God? Let me define Almighty for you. There's nothing, nothing, nothing impossible for God. Somebody say, thank goodness. There's nothing impossible for God. God will save you before Obama does.
That's right, that's right.
And for those of you that trusted in Bush, boom, you got it too. And for those of you that trusted in Clinton, boom. For those of you that thought Abraham Lincoln was going to do it, he didn't do it either. I laugh. If we had people fainting at a presidential candidate. Wait till your taxes go up. You'll faint again. Here's what I want you to know. The Republicans will not save you. You Republicans go, well, Lord have mercy. Y'all broke us too. The Democrats aren't going to say, watch, I don't get alarmed about this because you see, I know the truth. People cannot save people. I'm letting you dwell. Larry, you're a good guy, but you can't save me. If I go to heaven, stand in the day of judgment and say, I know Larry Mustard. Verdict, go to hell. Lynn, don't you dare go to heaven and say, well, I know Pastor Steve Ayers. Because guess what God will say? Go to hell. But what if I stand before judgment and say, oh, I know this dwelling place. I touched base with it on a weekly basis, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, sometime during my week. I took a moment of time that you have given me, Lord, to dwell in your place. And I found that the right hand of that place was my place. And that place had a name, Jesus. Your place is with who? Jesus. I'm asked this question quite a bit, especially at funeral time. People are going to say, well, where is my loved one? I said, if they were with Jesus and in Jesus, can I give you some good news this morning? I'm just going to go ahead and give altar call if y'all don't want to participate today. Huh? I mean, y'all want some good news? I mean, why do you come this morning? Guess what? I want to tell you, I'm just preaching today. Q, I'm just going to preach today. I'm going to tell you, brothers, right now, I'm glad to see y'all. I'm glad you came to church today. Just tell folks you're glad they came to church today. Go ahead. Coach Nick, I ain't going crazy. I am crazy. All right, there's a difference. You can't go crazy when you are crazy. Make sense? Hold on, but part of worship's being crazy. How many of y'all are madly in love that God is madly in love with you? See, we forget that. You know, can I ask y'all a question? What's happened to all you young people? What are y'all sitting down for when we ought to be rocking and rolling? You know, it's okay. Watch this. It's okay to get excited in worship. You know, you go to a football game. Pastor Jamie. I mean, think about this. Some of the foolish things we get caught up in. Jamie will cheer for Ohio State in a national championship game. Now, you know why he does? He believes in an almighty God. Which just might make that possible. But Jamie worships when he thinks about Ohio State because he knows if God doesn't do something, there's no chance at all. Especially when they play in the SEC. See what happens? Watch. How many of you realize part of worship is appreciation? You know, one of the things we don't do enough is appreciate. I mean, I appreciate that y'all showed up today. I appreciate that you gave unto God today. I appreciate that we got a church that's pretty cool to hang out in. But I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think it's cool enough. I think we got to be open to the things of God. I mean, we just got to worship. You know, if you're a person that moves, then you're probably going to move when you worship. If you're a person that sits and thinks, you're probably going to sit and think during worship going, oh, my God. It doesn't matter how you engage God. It matters that you engage with God. Amen? Don't watch this. I mean, when I was young and dumb, now I'm old and dumb. I remember one time I got so offended. We were at this concert, and I was kind of trying to figure out, you know, what's God about anyway. I was at this concert, and I was standing there, and I had my arms folded, and they were singing this song, and I was in awe. I was like, goodness, God is so much bigger than I ever dreamed Him being, okay? But now all my friends, they were giving it this right here. They looked at me, and they said, you are so unholy. I wanted to flip them off, and that would have been more unholy. Hey, listen, if you at church today and you thought you was listening to a holy man today, you're listening to a man that believes one thing, that only the cross of Jesus Christ, only the blood of Jesus, only the power of the resurrection, only the Holy Spirit can change a human being. That's it! Here's why I'm crazy. I don't have a plan B. We got to be careful. Don't ever get into somebody's worship. Encourage somebody's worship. Make sense? Sometimes people are worshiping when they do this. Now let me help you worship leaders, okay? You got a lot of people here that are just kind of athletic, okay? And listen, I ain't being critical. I was kind of wired like that. We're not real fast. And you creative types, y'all are fast. You know what I mean? I mean, y'all can go like, woo, and we're still at woo. When you've already hit woo, we're at arm, okay? But we're all in it what? Together. And look what happens. Oh, Lord, I want to dwell where you dwell. Well, guess what Jesus says? I have made that possible. I have made that possible. Oh, how lovely is your dwelling place. Oh, Lord Almighty, my soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. I want to encourage you when you come in here. I want you to come in here and say, God, I need you. I love you. I know you love me. God, love somebody else in here today. Show your love, Almighty God. I think that changes everything. I don't know about y'all, but I get cranked up. And when I look at you guys, I'm going, man, what's God going to do with him and her and those folk in the balcony? And what's he going to do with the 8 o'clock service and a combination of 8 o'clock, 11 service with some 9:30? Wow, what could God do? I've come to this conclusion. Anything and everything. Anything and everything. So let me show you how it works. When you come into worship, you got to know the presence. He cries out, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. First of all, I want you to know, you got to step into God's reality. That's the first step. We have an almighty God that wants to save you. Second step, you ready? Get your praise on. Get your praise on. Some of y'all living bum lives because you have no praise. How many of y'all woke up this morning, combed your hair and said, God, I praise you, I still have hair. See, we're not grateful. See, Lynn, you can wake up and say, God, I've had long hair for a long time, and a lot of my fellow hippie brothers, they can't be hippie brothers anymore if they want to. Because you giveth and you taketh away. Amen? Now listen, if you bald, how many of y'all looked in the mirror? I mean, you washed your head and you said, man, I look good. I look so good, I don't even need hair. That's how good God made me. See what I mean? Watch this. Praise who? God. Wherever God has you could possibly be a blessed place. Now listen to how I said it. Wherever God has you could possibly be a blessed place. But watch this. When you walk through life, how many of y'all praise? Praise. They will dwell with you. And when you dwell with God, guess what comes out of you? Praise! You know what the world's looking for? A group of people that'll praise Him. They go to church and guess what they hear? Like today at lunch. Today at lunch. I'm not going to talk too much about lunch or y'all get out of the spirit real quick. But today at lunch, when y'all go somewhere to lunch, when you hang out, guess what? People are going to know you've been to what? Church. And they'll see that you got shorts on and went to church, so they know you went where? There you go. They're probably not going to accuse y'all of being, you know, First Baptist Church people. All right, here we go. There's nothing wrong with that. That's where I came from. I wore my little JCPenney's clip-on tie in there and met Jesus. All right? It works. Jesus will save you with a clip-on on. Okay, that's a whole different sermon. Now look at here. Look at here. How many of them are going to hear praise for God in your conversation? Or are they going to hear about what you didn't like? Let me tell you what. The world is tired of hearing about what the church doesn't like. They're tired of hearing us whine. They're tired of us being against everything. Listen, if you didn't know God, you'd think Jesus was one anti-movement after another. And the more I read the scripture, I don't hear Jesus against it. I hear Jesus for heaven. We ought to be for heaven people. We ought to be heavenward people. Man, that changes everything. I want to have a great marriage because God in heaven would want me to have a what? That's why I have a great marriage. I want to represent that that's changed me. Now do y'all understand? What has changed me ought to be represented in me. And I want to praise Him forever and ever. And the best way I can praise God is live a full and abundant life. Those who dwell in His house will praise forever. Now I'm going to challenge you to do that this week. Get your praise on. I'm talking on Monday morning. Somebody pull it out in front of you, say, thank God they didn't hit me. When they slow down in front of you, say, okay, God, maybe I don't need to be moving so fast. Listen, listen, as I preach this, God's saying, you better listen to what you're saying, preacher. I'm listening, Lord. Amen. Yeah, amen. Yeah. Interrupt me. I love questions. Great question. I got it. Great question from my brother in worship. I've made the same observation you have. If it's going my way, we tend to praise Him, which connects to last week's sermon. Last week we said, Father, may your will be done. And so when I'm in the situation, I need to be looking for God's will and not my preference. That's where it tears us up. Amen. Now, here's where we're deceived. The enemy, Satan, how many of y'all believe there's an enemy of God? Anybody y'all? Okay, I believe there's an enemy of God. I don't believe that evil is mythological. I believe that evil is real. And it'll crawl up in you. And here's what evil wants to do. It wants to make your situation greater than your Almighty God. Which obviously, you know, David, he wrote the Psalms. And you know, and he messed up with Bathsheba. Y'all remember that biblical story? See, this is why it's important you go to Bible study, so that you realize that Bill Clinton was not the first politician that messed up. King David was one that messed up. Guess why? Here's what usually leads to sin in our lives. How many of y'all find you usually end up in a sinful situation when you start dwelling in the wrong place? You know, the computer will get you if you dwell on the wrong website. True? And so if you get on a website and it says, you know what I'm talking about. Here it is, three websites over. What do you got to wait? Wait a minute. I live in the house of the Lord. And he says, I don't need to go over there to that house. I mean, we just got through journeying with Moses and then what did God keep saying over and 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 over again? Does anybody remember? Y'all surely have not forgotten what God keeps telling the children of Israel over and over and over again. What's his number one I'm going to tell you? Have no other gods. So I'm going to praise God where I am, knowing this is where trust and faith comes in. Wherever God puts me is greater than where I can put myself. I think that's the answer to that question. So when it's not going my way, I need to pause and ask God if we're going His way. Here's what I've learned. Sometimes God's way doesn't feel good. And here's where we've been distracted. What's everybody told us in America? Ever since we've been born, we're the generation of feelings. Do you realize that? Our parents sang this song and liked it. Up, up and away in a beautiful... I mean, they were smoking dope listening to Barney songs, okay? I mean, you know, Puff the Magic Dragon is where we come from. So what do we believe inherently? I mean, inherent in us is what? If it feels good, it must be true. Man, what a dangerous way to start living. What a dangerous way to start living. I hear people say this all the time in their faith. They go, well, if I'm at peace with God, then it must be God's will. I'm the opposite. I know it's God's will when I'm not at peace because rarely do I agree with God. Like God will say, go love that person. And I'll say, God, let's skip that one. What about that one over there? I really like that one. And God said, it doesn't matter what you like. It matters who I love. See, this is the answer to my brother's question. Great question. Thanks for answering. Can I applaud you for asking a question in worship? Because I think this is the way worship ought to be. And watch. God gave us an answer. Because guess what? Not only did you have that question. How many of y'all else had that question? How do I praise Him when life's gone to hell? Come on. Is that strong enough for y'all? By the way, I think if we're going to have gospel, we ought to have gospel straight. I'm tired of, you know, we got too many little Shirley Temple gospel preachers. You know, they like put sugar and syrup. I mean, it's the real deal. You get the gospel, it intoxicates you. It's straight up. It's too, watch this. You know what you're worshiping? 200%, 200 proof grace.
Amen.
Boom. It will, watch this. That stuff will knock you into heaven. You will dwell in the presence of who? You will be grateful for your reality. Now, I think something happens here because it goes to my last point. Dwelling in heaven is greater than anything we'll see here on earth. And I don't know about y'all, but I've seen some pretty cool places here. I've seen the sunset go down out west and in the Middle East and in some places where I've gone, oh, what a mighty God. It's greater than that. And the scripture even says David had seen some pretty cool places. I mean, he lived in a kingdom. He wasn't poor. When he saw the splendor of mankind, and here's was his conclusion. He says, better is one day in your courts. Better is one day, God, living with you. It's pretty powerful. Than 1,000 what? Elsewhere. Now, let me help you, and we're coming to a close. Dwelling with God in the New Testament, the Second Testament, the truth of God's Word, is that Jesus wants to dwell in you. When Jesus dwells in you, who are you going to dwell with? God. Where is Jesus located? Anybody know? He's really pretty, you know, he's been kind of even pointed out where he's located in heaven. Where? He's at the right hand of the throne of God. Because when you're at the right hand, what does that mean? God's pointing out, this is who is in charge. Jesus. Jesus is the judge. He is the jury. And He is the conviction. Y'all got that? I see, that's the side of Jesus we don't see because we grew up out of the 60s and we wanted to preach hippie Jesus. And what hippie Jesus does is he goes by and says, you can do anything you want to do and it's going to be all right. That's a lie out of hell. That's a lie out of hell. Watch this. The longer you break God's principles, the more hell will enter your life. That's the truth. I'm glad to see you young people writing that down because guess what? I have a desire. I think people that grow older, when you grow older, this ought to be your desire. I don't want my children to taste the things that were not of God in my life. That's why if you got parents that are really, really, really strict, it's probably because they were really, really wild. And they're so loving to you. They are so merciful to you. They're saying, I don't want this in your life because it hurt me bad. And I love you so much. I don't want you to be anywhere near bad. Now you're understanding worship. We come to worship so that God's people might be energized and the world get better. Does that make sense? Better is one day in His courts than 1,000 where? Elsewhere. You fill in your elsewhere. Now, I want to invite you to worship. You'll never worship till you get saved. Andrew, I don't know. What do you believe? I'm going to put you on the spot. Welcome to Hillview. I don't believe you can worship till you get saved. Now, I believe you can observe worship as a lost person, but I don't believe you can worship till you're in the family. Now, what did I tell you? Who does God want in the family? God desires what? All to be saved. Why are some people not saved? They're going to say, I ain't going to listen to you, God. Guess what? I believe God, when He knocks on your heart, guess what? I believe you need to answer the call. How many of you all found this? Most of your trouble in life has come because you didn't listen. I have people come back in my office and I kind of, you know, if you're in the hospital and you leave, you know, before you're supposed to leave, they call that against what?
AMA.
Yeah, AMA. Against medical advice. Well, guess what? I have some of you all that have done it, you know. Guess it would be APA. Against pastoral advisement. Now watch this. Any pastor on this staff, if they said, you know what? If I was you, I wouldn't choose to do that because it doesn't line up with the principles of God's Word. What are they being? Loving. I've watched some of y'all go to the hall. We got about 12, 13 pastors here. I don't know how many we got now. Something like that. And y'all have gone down the hall to see if you could find a different answer. And you got frustrated because when you get to the end of the hall, you meet the real smart pastor, the Reverend Jeffrey Reynolds, soon to be the Reverend Dr. Jeffrey Reynolds. And not only does he give you an answer, he tells you where God wrote it, why God wrote it, and how many people it screwed up that didn't follow it. So you'd be safer to just come to us first and be prayed over. The answer doesn't change because God's desire doesn't change. God wants you to live. That's an unchanging desire. And so I want to tell you in worship, we ought to enter this place saying, hold up, I'm in the presence of an almighty God that loves me. Something great's going to be going on today. Number two, I'm going to get my praise on. I got to be grateful for what I got going on, even if things haven't gone right. Watch this. Right now, every one of y'all got this going for you at this moment. You're alive. So guess what you can do? You can praise Him. You cannot praise Him when you're dead. Have you noticed? How many of y'all, you do not lift your hands when you're in a coffin. How many of y'all have noticed that? You fold them. You don't lift them. So at church, while we can lift them, we ought to do what, Pete? Pete, you're over there in Africa. Did they praise God over there? Yeah, they poor over there. Were they still praising God? I mean, they don't even eat but one meal a day in a lot of those places. What were they doing? You know why we don't praise? We've been given more than enough. And we've been given it so long, we have lost definition of what is enough. Can you imagine? Let me just give you this one right here. A country that gives people a free cell phone that don't have a job. We have lost our everlasting minds. Did you realize you can go to school so long, you will study yourself stupid? There's a time to let up and let some common sense come in. No, hold on, I'm going somewhere with this. I live in a nation that believes people have a right to a cell phone. While I live in a world where a couple of billion people are starving. That is insanity. You know what you have the right to do? You have a right to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior because Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave. And I guarantee you, when you start dwelling in that and you start following His principles, life will be better than it used to be. And even if it's not all hunky-dory, let me give you the prize. At your last breath, you will live in heaven forever.
Amen.
That's pretty amazing. And you can't get there on your own. Some of y'all are going to be real impressive. You're going to stand before judgment. You're going to reach in your purse or back here in your back pocket. And you're going to whip out your American Express card. And God's going to go, not enough. And if you whip out your American Express card very often in these times, you will also hear, not enough. So you know what I'd do? I would trust what Jesus said. That's what I'm recommending. And I'd worship God. Amen. Have y'all learned anything today?
Yeah.
Do y'all feel the sense that God really does want you to have a full and abundant life?
Yeah.
Listen, I know I watch some of y'all get mad when I say things that CNN doesn't say. I'm not going to agree with MSNBC.
Yeah.
I don't agree with CBS. I don't agree with CNN. And I don't agree with Fox News.
Amen.
Some of you are going, you don't agree with Fox? Yeah, their fair and balance is sometimes unfair and slanted. You know why they do that? Because they're human. You know why I do that? Because I'm human. And you know why you do that? Because you're human. There's only one place that is unfair and totally just. It's the grace of God.
Amen.
The grace of God is unfair. Because you and I deserve to go to hell. We broke the rules. We didn't do what God asked us to do. We went the other way when God said come. And He loves us so much that He stretched out His arms on a nasty piece of wood and He cried through the ages from time that ignited till time that will end here on earth. And He said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do, but I know Your will is to love them and bring them back to You. And He stretched out His arms and declared, it is finished. And when His head fell limp with physical death, hell rejoiced, check this out, and heaven began. Because now there's a way. There's a way for you and I to dwell in the place of the Lord forever. An Almighty God made a way. I will praise Him forever because I am convinced one day in the courts of the Lord is better than a what? 1,000 elsewhere. Sean, I kind of put it like this. I'll be deeply satisfied to live in a pup tent on the outskirts of heaven than to have a mansion in hell. That's how good heaven is. That makes sense? Well, if you agree that you'd rather be in heaven than hanging out on your own or by yourself, if you'd like to see the glory of God just really be released in your life, I'm going to recommend you go ahead and stand up today. I mean, you really just want to dwell in the house of the Lord. Go ahead and stand up today. For our guest today, we call this an altar call. The reason this is named an altar call is that Jesus will alter your situation. Isn't that cool? He's going to alter your direction. Some of you in this place today, if you don't meet... Well, hold on. Let me get to the truth. All of us today. You hear how I said that? All of us. I'm in here with you all. Some of y'all look at me and go, well, Pastor, I had a person ask me if I was ever tempted. What do you think? I remember one time Elizabeth was doing a women's conference and this girl came up to her and she said, oh, what is it like to live with Pastor Steve? Elizabeth's response, nothing like you think it is. She thought I was in prayer all the time. Elizabeth said, he's yelling half the time. He's got to be forgiven. Amen? Today, man, I'm going to tell you, church, we're fixing to get real. I hope y'all get to stay. Because we got to go with what God desires. And guess what? Some of y'all are here. I see some new faces. I want you to know God brought you here.
Amen.
God brought you here for this moment of time. We got this building thing over here. It'll be done soon. Guess when the building's going to be done? Sometime. And whenever that sometime comes, here's what I'm worried about the building. Not when it's going to be done, but is God's will going to be done in it? You know, some of y'all are dating. Some of y'all thinking about getting married. Y'all don't realize how quick this happens. You can be married and then you get kids. And you think you're stressed out now? Wait. You think finals are tough? Wait till you see a 2-year-old. Finals ain't nothing compared to potty training a 2-year-old. Look at here. Let God have His way in your life today. We've gathered together today because God is almighty. He's so strong, He'll save you today. Now listen, guys, I don't want everybody bailing out. This is not bailout time. That's what the government does. This is come to Jesus time. And I want y'all to stay put. Okay? I think God gets a little irritated when you're in more of a hurry to get away with Him than you are to hear what He's got to say. You know, if this is a Michael Jackson concert, heck, you ought to have been camped out 4 days ago. If he touched you, you'd have passed out. And he didn't even have a real nose. That's the truth. I heard it on the news. Doctor said he didn't even have a nose. Ooh. No, come on. Listen, I know it's kind of humorous, but listen, we're worshiping the wrong things. And I don't know about you, but I've heard God scream at me as your pastor from February to this moment. And He said, you better not have any other gods. And so you know what I've been trying to do? I've been trying to get rid of some of my little gods. Things that I turn to instead of Him. So let Him take them away. Amen. Let Him tear down those false altars. Come on. If you need to be saved today, God wants to save you. He wants to be in you. You ready? Tell Him, Lord Jesus. Just tell Him, Lord Jesus, I know today that crazy preacher's right. I'm a sinner. And Jesus, I don't want to be a sinner anymore. I want to dwell with you. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Come on, somebody's praying that right now. Y'all feel that? Y'all pray for them. Lord, save whoever it is today. May they be saved. So if it's you today, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you've risen from the grave. We got some people today being saved. That's why you were here today. Number two, some of y'all have said you're following Jesus and you haven't been baptized. Let me tell you about this baptism thing. It's serious. Because Jesus did it. Jesus did it. So if you haven't been baptized, it's time to get baptized. We got God's stock coming up. If you don't want to be baptized in an indoor pool, we got a whole lake. Several thousand acres out there. If you're big, you might get baptized at the lake. It's a little easier. That tub up there, if you're real big, you can get stuck in that and you will see Jesus. So we won't get you on up, all right? Come on, let's be real about it. If you need to be baptized, let's get baptized. Amen? Amen? Yeah, what's mine?
Some of us didn't do it right. Some of us had to get double dipped.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Here's what I'm talking about, baptism. Man, God is doing some cool stuff in here today. I love it when y'all talk. This is what church is supposed to be. We all do this together. I was so tired of going to church listening to preachers. I wanted to yell at every one of them. Look, have you been baptized when you made the decision to follow Jesus? Okay? If you got baptized when you were a baby, that's cool. But have you been baptized after you decided to follow Jesus? It's about you deciding. Because God's already willing to save. Amen? Let's just pray one more time. Open this altar. Guess what? I don't know any better time than right now to get saved. Do you all? You've heard about Jesus. You've heard about an almighty God. You've heard about praise. You've heard about living in His house. What are you waiting on? I know some of y'all going to walk out here and tell me, well, preacher, I'm not ready yet. When are you going to be ready? What, you think you got to have 10 gallons of sin instead of 5 gallons of sin? God takes it all away. Let Him have it. Come on. I'm pleading with the grace of God to move you forward. I can't save you. If I thought I could save you, I'd come jerk you out of your seat right now and body slam you up here on the altar. That won't get you saved. The Holy Spirit's got to draw you and you got to say, yes, God, I know I need your love. Yes, God, I got to know I need your grace. Lynn, I remember that God stock. Be 3 God stocks ago now. Watch this. You were sitting there. God saved you long before we had the service. Lynn was sitting up front and he was doing this. And he was just like, would you shut up, Ayers? I've been saved. So I'm going to shut up so those of you who've been saved can come on and tell us about it. Amen. Here's my prayer right now. Lord, may we dwell for just a moment at this altar in your space, in your house, in your truth, in your way. Whoever needs to be baptized, may they come today boldly to be baptized. Whoever needs to be saved, may they be saved today. But God, I pray at this altar, you would open up in a way we hadn't seen in a while or maybe have never seen, and you would heal what needs to be healed. In the name of Jesus. Amen, Scott. Let's let the Lord dwell with us. Come on, church. Don't stand there right now. Come on. Let's come to this altar. Let's give God thanks and praise for what He's doing.